Upheaval. Reckoning. Chapter 13. The Royal Guard.
News of Prince Tirado and Princess Celestia's arrival quickly spread throughout Canterlot. By morning, the city was abuzz with rumors. No pony save for Princess Luna and the highest ranked among the Royal Guard had actually seen the two, but the prospect of finally having Princess Celestia address her subjects after her strange disappearance in Edict was both reassuring and disconcerting. Likewise, the chance to meet this Prince Tirado, who had been alluded to in the Edict and explained by the wandering Princess Luna. With such important events centering on the capital, the Royal Guard found itself swamped with complications. Merely a few hours after Princess Celestia and Prince Tirado arrived, a small group of armed and armored ponies teleported into the palace as well. The prince explained that they were some of his legionnaires on an important mission. The royal guards were more than a little suspicious, given that the last time the palace witnessed the arrival of strange armed ponies, nearly a dozen of their stallions were killed. Now, with barely a clear explanation as to what happened that time, they were expected to work with these ponies. Representatives of the two martial organizations met inside the planning room of the Royal Guard's barracks. The legionnaires had come unarmed as a show of good faith. The Royal Guard, however, had no shortage of spears. It was explained to them that the legionnaires that had previously attacked the palace in an attempt to steal the Elements of Harmony were mind-controlled agents of the new Alicorn, Black Rose, and that these legionnaires were not of the same sort. For Unicorn Guard Captain Shining Armor, it didn't help that the legionnaire he was talking to was covered in black armor from head to tail, and that the eyes that stared out of the armored slits were a feral red, or that the pony spoke in a growling, wolfish voice when he introduced himself as Captain Vanguard Clash of the Northern Equestrian Legion, Special Operations, 3rd Squad. Shining Armor accepted the offer of a hoofshake, though. If there was going to be a breach in relations between Prince Tirado's guards and Princess Celestia's, it wasn't going to start with him or from his companion at the moment, Pegasus Guard Captain Brightshield.
"Captain Shining Armor of the Royal Guard, Unicorn Division," he replied. "This is Captain Brightshield of the Pegasus Division. It is an honor to work with the ponies who defend our borders."
"The feeling is mutual towards the ponies who maintain order within the heart of Equestria,"
Vanguard said. He glanced at the other ponies lined up behind him. Shining Armor noticed that, while they all wore some barding, none were as heavily armored as this one. They remained completely expressionless, except for the one dark blue unicorn, who looked at him a little too intensely. When she noticed him paying attention to her, a playful smile curved her lips.
"The prince has ordered a few squads from Special Operations to work with the Royal Guard,"
Vanguard continued.
"We are to update you on Equestria's enemies, especially Black Rose and her thorns, assist with the merging between our two organizations, and ensure that the prince's address tomorrow will go smoothly. We'd appreciate it if you'd tell us about potential problem spots in this city for tomorrow's address."
"We're still unclear about how this merge is supposed to happen," Brightshield said. "From what Princess Luna has been saying, it seems that the Equestrian Legion will be absorbing the Royal Guard completely."
"That is correct,"
was Vanguard's answer.
"That's absurd," Brightshield said. "The Royal Guard has been protecting Equestria as an organization for centuries. Now you're just going to dissolve it into your group?"
"I'm not here to debate history with any pony, Captain Brightshield. I have my orders from our prince, and I'm sure you have your orders too."
Brightshield gritted his teeth. The black-armored pony was right. He did have his orders. Both princesses had already told the Royal Guard about their plans to merge the two groups. He had another retort, but a raised hoof from Shining Armor held him back.
"You're fine with this?"
he asked his fellow captain. Shining Armor closed his eyes momentarily.
"I will be fine here,"
Princess Celestia said once she entered her room.
"Thank you, both of you."
Both Shining Armor and Brightshield saluted and turned to leave.
"Shining Armor."
Shining Armor stopped when the princess called him back, while Brightshield kept on going.
"Yes, Your Highness?"
he asked. Celestia trembled slightly from fatigue.
"I'm sorry,"
she said.
"What I did to your sister was wrong. Please, forgive me."
Shining Armor's lips twisted slightly, the only sign of the emotion that the princess stirred up.
"I can't,"
he said.
"Not yet, Your Highness."
"Shining Armor,"
It was hard enough to accept that you banished Twily because she had done something wrong. Now it turns out that you threw her into danger, even when she hadn't. Not only that, I have to find out that you've been lying to me since the day I was born.
Celestia tried to take a step forward, stumbling as she did so. Shining Armor was by her side to offer support in a heartbeat.
I'm surprised you still show this much concern, she said weakly.
I swore an oath to serve when I took this position.
Shining Armor's face softened a bit.
Just give me more time, Your Highness. I need to take this all in. I can't forgive you just yet.
Thank you for that much.
No,
Shining Armor replied when he opened his eyes again. He continued to stare at Vanguard Clash as he spoke.
Not really, Bright Shield, but Captain Vanguard Clash is right. We have our orders, and we're sworn to uphold them. The Royal Guard will cooperate with the Equestrian Legion.
I must admit, I was expecting a lot of resistance from the Royal Guard,
Vanguard said.
Your cooperation is appreciated, Captain Shining Armor.
But we'll do so with our eyes open, Shining Armor continued. I'd like to know how the Legion deals with problem spots before I share any information. Forgive me, but I was part of the cleanup when some of your rogue troops attacked this palace.
We will observe, for the most part, and leave any domestic issues with the Royal Guard,
Vanguard replied.
We will act if we determine that Black Rose's agents are involved. Things should remain in simple arrests, unless Black Rose decides to escalate matters.
Good.
Shining Armor felt a little reassured. He had been worried that the mere sight of these Legionnaires enforcing the laws they knew would cause more unrest in Canterlot.
Now, about this Black Rose.
Vanguard turned towards one of his companions, who handed him a sheaf of papers. The following day came about swiftly, far too swiftly for Luna. She doubted that a few hours of rest would be enough for her older sister, who walked the halls with her weekly. A part of her dearly wanted to postpone the event. Toronto had made no secret to her that he didn't like the ponies of Canterlot, and it was quite likely that the ponies of Canterlot won't like him either. She envisioned a lot of things going wrong. If Canterlot's inhabitants refused to listen and started resisting, Toronto would certainly order the Legion to subdue them violently, if he didn't simply crush them all in anger. Yet, it was better to get this out of the way. The longer it took for them to address the ponies of Equestria, the longer the unrest would brew. She looked ahead and saw that Toronto was already waiting by the palace's entrance, along with a contingent of royal guards. She looked around suspiciously, noting that not a single legionnaire was in sight. What had her brother put them up to?
About time you got here,
Toronto said. He looked towards the direction of Canterlot's main plaza, where he and his sisters were to address the citizens of Celestia's capital. Even from where he was, he could see the ponies beginning to gather. The three of them flew off together. Below, a few ponies still walking the streets gasped and pointed at them. The plaza was abuzz with the worried chatter of ponies when the three reached it. On the ground, some royal guards blew their trumpets to signal their arrival. A hush fell upon the crowd as the three of them landed on an elevated platform. Luna observed the reactions closely. She saw shock, confusion, and a great deal of fear. She listened to the whispers among them.
Is that the Prince Toronto we keep hearing about? He's so big, and his mane is on fire. He's gray like a tombstone. He looks angry. Is he going to attack us? Where is Princess Celestia? Isn't she the one at the center? That can't be. The princess's mane isn't pink. But she looks every bit like the princess, except for the mane. Didn't Princess Luna say that her powers were stolen by an enemy? I don't know. She looks smaller. Does losing their power make the princesses shrink? Shush! She's about to speak.
Standing so close to her sister, Luna could understand why the ponies of Canterlot even doubted that their princess had come back. Celestia had not changed in size at all. She seemed smaller because she lacked presence, something caused by two things at the moment: her loss of power and the prospect of finally facing her subjects for the first time after the division's end.
My dear subjects,
Celestia began. She spoke through a microphone. Normally, this would not be necessary. The royal Canterlot voice was all it took to address a large crowd, but that required a degree of magic that the princess did not have to spare. This was not lost to the crowd, particularly the royal guards stationed around and among them.
Today will mark the beginning of a new period for Equestria. For more than 1,000 years, I partitioned Equestria into 2 parts in a misguided attempt to protect ponykind.
Luna found herself breathless. Celestia had mentioned before that she had been too hasty in judgment, but this would be the first time ever that she would admit that the barrier was wrong. A single look at Torado's face told her that he had noticed as well.
That partition is over. My sister has already told you of the troubles that have been hidden from you for so long. I now stand here to confirm them.
There were no overt reactions from the crowd, but Luna could feel a collective sigh come from them. When she had spoken to them of the situation, they had listened earnestly and tried to understand. But she knew that part of them still hoped that whatever bad thing that was happening would blow over and they would not be needed. Celestia's words hammered in the reality that such a thing was not going to happen.
Equestria needs your help, my little ponies,
Celestia went on.
The Equestrian Legion, led by my brother, Torado, has come here today for your support.
She looked towards Torado, who kept his eyes on the crowd.
Don't believe her!
A stallion shouted from afar. Every pony's eyes went towards the one who spoke. By the edges of the plaza, a white unicorn stallion with a blonde mane walked slowly towards the crowd. Luna recognized Blueblood, a rather annoying, but mostly harmless, royal nephew. From the way he was acting now, harmless might have to be reconsidered.
That's not Princess Celestia, Blueblood continued to shout. It doesn't even look like her.
Luna heard a deep-throated growl come from her brother. She placed a hoof by his shoulder in response.
Big brother, please. No earthquakes or one of your surprise volcanoes. This city is dangling by a cliff, remember? She whispered.
Torado let out a snort and relaxed.
I know,
he said. He looked on disapprovingly as the gathered ponies listened to the upstart.
The real Princess Celestia would never force us to join some army and go off to a land we've never seen, Blueblood continued to shout. This one must be a fake, being controlled by those two behind her.
Luna stepped forward to reply to the accusation.
This is the real Princess Celestia, she said. I've already explained why she looks like this before.
A likely story, Blueblood said with a sneer. I never trusted your so-called conversion. This is a nightmare moon plot. She's trying to recruit us into her army.
I believe her,
another pony said. This one didn't shout like Blueblood, but his voice carried clearly through the crowd. Every pony turned to look and found Captain Shining Armor standing next to a squad of Unicorn Royal Guards by the opposite side of where Blueblood was.
I've been with the princess long and often enough. I know the real Princess Celestia when I see her. In fact,
he turned his gaze towards Celestia,
she's more real now than she's ever been.
How can we trust you?
Blueblood asked.
Aren't you the same pony who was fooled by the changeling queen?
And thus the one who's even more vigilant than before,
Shining Armor shot back.
What's really going on here, Blueblood? Are you really doubtful of the princess's identity? Are you that scared of the draft?
Who isn't afraid of the draft here?
Blueblood replied, and looked all around him.
Who wants to be part of some army and work?
He shuddered at the mere mention of the word.
For a prince they've never met.
I'd fight for Equestria,
a third pony shouted from the crowd. A light yellow stallion, still wearing the uniform of a cafe worker, stepped up.
That's what it's all about, right?
Several ponies next to him agreed.
How can we be sure it's for Equestria and not the private army of Nightmare Moon?
Blueblood asked. Some of the nobles walked over to him as a show of agreement.
Why can't they just get the royal guard and leave us alone?
Nightmare Moon's long gone,
another pony shouted.
I'm siding with Captain Shining Armor. That's the real Princess Celestia, and she really needs our help.
The crowd erupted into a confused argument, while the guards struggled to maintain control.
I have a family to care for and a business to run. I can't join this legion forever. Equestria is in danger, and we've been called to help. I say any pony who refuses to be drafted is a coward. The nobles don't want to move their rears and help out. What can you expect from those hoity-toity do-nothings?
Let the rabble join up. Surely their numbers would make up for all the ponies needed.
I still can't believe we've been lied to for so long. How do we even trust this legion?
A powerful boom, like the distant crack of thunder or a faraway eruption, came from where the royals were standing. It rolled through the crowd and silenced them in an instant. Every pony turned towards the sound to find that the gray alicorn next to their princesses had clapped his front hoofs together. Once he got the crowd's attention, Tirado glanced at his sisters and then stepped forward.
"I am Prince Tirado of Equestria," he said.
His words rumbled like a distant earthquake. Unlike his eldest sister, he had no problem projecting his voice.
"It seems a lot of you have issues over not knowing who I am. There will be plenty of time to do that, given that I'm not going anywhere."
His gaze swept over the crowd. Seeing them beginning to cower was an annoyance, but he kept his voice even.
"For a long, long time, I have protected this land from its enemies. If you have doubts, come forth, and I will take you to see them for yourself."
He paused, waiting for some pony to accept his offer. He could feel his sister's nervous gaze on him during the silence. No pony stepped forward, yet one more source of annoyance. He put on a smile when he continued.
"I am glad, though, to meet all the ponies I have been defending for the first time. My sisters have done well in caring for you during their reign, regardless of a few mistakes we have made. A lot of you fear the Legion. I understand that. But what you should fear is what would happen if it falls. The Legion and I cannot protect Equestria by ourselves for much longer. Though it pains us to do so, we have to call upon all of you to do your part."
Tirado paused again to let his words settle in. He could see many in the crowd whispering amongst themselves. He heard the doubts and the hesitation and decided that some changes had to happen on the spot.
"I must also add that your service to the Legion need not be permanent,"
he continued.
"All ponies recruited during the draft will be allowed to leave and go home once the worst has come to pass. Although, I am confident that plenty will stay once they see the necessity and nobility of the Legion's work."
Tirado glanced at his sisters and relished the surprise on their faces before going on.
"I am asking for a lot of things from all of Equestria now. I ask for your cooperation, for we will all fall without it. I ask for your forgiveness. Your rulers have made grave mistakes and continue to pay for it. Most of all, I ask for your courage. The future ahead is dark, but we can go through this together."
The crowd was silent after that. No more whisperings amongst themselves this time.
"Count me in!"
some pony from the crowd shouted. Others quickly picked up on it and yelled their agreement. The crowd came to life with determined cries. Luna stepped closer towards her brother.
"See?" she said. "Not so full of fops after all."
"Maybe,"
Tirado said grimly. He continued to stare and notice the ponies not so eager to join. Many nobles bunched together around Blue Blood and stared at the crowd in horror. While his sister saw the crowd's willingness, he saw the pockets of resistance. Small groups of ponies were trying to get away from the crowd and fall back to their homes, or, perhaps, to get away from the city itself. That wasn't going to work. He had already scattered his eyes and ears throughout the city's potential hiding places and exits. It shouldn't be hard with the Royal Guard's cooperation.
"You surprised me," Luna said. "I read from your laws that joining the Legion was permanent."
"The old rules don't cut it anymore,"
Tirado said.
"These ponies need hope. They need to see their joining as a service they have to give for now, not a fate they are irrevocably condemned to."
"Will the same be true for the Elements of Harmony?"
Tirado let out a snort.
"They weren't drafted. They joined up on their own, even though we discouraged them. I'll have to think about it more. I'm off for now, little sister. I have to coordinate with the Legionnaires waiting to enter the cities, and I need to have a strict hoof on these things."
"Of course, big brother."
With a flap of his wings, Tirado took to the air. After the address had finished, the two princesses stayed to talk with the ponies on a more personal level. Luna had feared that the Heartland's ponies would be resentful and angry, that they would demand some sort of physical punishment for Celestia, or even demand that she step down from her throne. It was likely that the very nature of the Heartland was what kept either from happening. Heartland ponies did not believe in swift and merciless vindication in the same way the ponies of the Barrierlands did. Punishments were rare, and they were certainly not turned into public events like Tirado's executions. It was also likely because these ponies had spent so long in Celestia's benevolent rule that they could not imagine what their life would be outside it. Whatever the reason, the ponies that approached Celestia were not of the vengeful or angry sort, and Luna was glad for it. Having the ponies of the Heartland turn on her now would simply break Celestia's heart. Instead, they showed concern over the princess's loss of power and promised their support. Tirado would have called them naive, but their naivety was going to help now more than any sense of worldliness. Unfortunately, that wasn't likely going to be the case each and every time in the Heartland. It wasn't even so here in Canterlot. Luna looked to the far side of the plaza, where the royal guard was dealing with a group of nobles led by Blueblood. She wished that they were an isolated case, but they were likely only the first of several.
"No," Blueblood said haughtily. "I refuse to join. I am a prince of Equestria, and I will not be reduced to working with common soldiery."
Several of the royal guards scowled and stepped forward, but they were stopped by one of their captains. Shining Armor shared in his pony's desire to show Blueblood that he was talking to common soldiery at the moment, and they didn't appreciate his tone. But he kept his feelings aside for now.
"No ponies asking for your permission, Blueblood," he said. "The draft is mandatory, and you're going to represent your family."
"Is there no way at all to avoid this draft?" another noble asked. "Perhaps we can hire some pony to go in our place. Maybe a generous donation to the right pony?"
"I'm going to ignore that you just asked if you can bribe some pony," Brightshield replied.
He had allowed a hint of anger to creep into his voice.
"The answer to your other question is no. Every pony will do his or her part. You can't hire some pony to do your part for you. For now, we ask that all of you return to your homes and wait for the actual draft. Don't try to skip out on this. The penalties are stiff."
Most of the nobles left, nearly all of them deflated by the response. Blueblood stayed, however.
"I am still royalty," he insisted. "If money won't exempt from the draft, blood will."
Shining Armor grabbed Blueblood by the lapels and forced the stallion to look at Celestia.
"This crisis is taken from Princess Celestia herself," he said angrily. "What makes you think that her nephew is going to get an exemption? Go home, Blueblood. We may be related, but I'll personally throw you into the dungeon if you cause any trouble."
He let go of Blueblood, who stumbled and fell on his rear, before running off.
"That's not the last we'll hear from him,"
Brightshield said as he watched the prince run off. While the rest of the guards went back to their assigned posts, Brightshield and Shining Armor walked back to the barracks. The legionnaires from earlier had asked for a few strange things. The location of the Coldhorn the Watcher wing, which was really just a small, obscure room deep within the library where no pony goes. The location of Skymere Lake, which was in the middle of Changeling territory. And the location of Everfree Castle. They had refused to explain why, save for mentioning that it involved Black Rose, the pony who stole Princess Celestia's power. Shining Armor pulled out the sheaf of papers that the legionnaires provided him with as he walked on. "Blue Moon, Unicorn Mage and Leader of the Thorns, specializes in abjuration magic, known best for his part in the battle for Sharpstone Bridge, where he held off an Ursan army by himself for 2 days, currently under custody. Lioncourt, Unicorn Mage, served as a diplomat and spy, credited with 200 kills from formal duels, specializes in mind-affecting magic and uses the extremely rare skill of mage blade wielding. Longstride, Pegasus Sniper, armed with a magical bow with line-of-sight range. Sablesteel, Pegasus Infiltrator, uses a variety of poisons and extremely dangerous in close range. Stealthiest of the Thorns. Rhapsody, Earth Pony Bard, plays Warsinger, a dangerous magical instrument that tears into the enemy's nerves, believed to be still dead. Black Rose is looking for a replacement. Frenzy Heart, Earth Pony Berserker, wields a giant stone blade, a true Earth Pony heirloom, with ease, also believed to still be dead. Equestria's enemies appeared daunting from just reading the information about them. He had to steel himself for facing them for real. He read the descriptions, but they weren't what made him worry.
That was some standing up you did for the princess, Brightshield said. You're really all in for this Legion, huh? What did they do to impress you?
Nothing, Shining Armor replied. All I know is that Twily believed in these ponies enough to be banished for them. That's good enough for me.
They turned one corner and passed by a group of ponies, arguing amongst themselves about the earlier address.
Legion aside, you never told me how your honeymoon went, Brightshield said.
You're right, I never did, Shining Armor replied with a smile.
After a moment of silence, Brightshield grinned.
Oh, that's how it is, eh? Maybe if you finally marry Skypiercer, we can swap stories. As if that's gonna happen. That mare's going to tease me forever.
Shining Armor chuckled in response. They walked on in silence for a while, until Brightshield spoke again.
You know, at the risk of sounding bloodthirsty, part of me is actually glad about all these recent revelations.
Why's that?
It's just a little comforting to know that there's more to this job than guarding tea parties or dealing with the rare attack that will be resolved without our help anyway.
Be careful what you wish for, Brightshield.
I don't have to wish for it. It's happening anyway.
The two of them stopped in front of the barracks.
Well, Brightshield, Shining Armor told his fellow captain, the guard's chance to really shine has just come.